a short while ago we had a power cut, but we have survived. As far as I'm aware, my family is still alive downstairs. Can't know that for sure, though, as I'm in the pod booth. It's bloody...
This is the smallest scale Cloverfield ever.
You know what? I never watched it.
Oh, well, it's basically that. You're in the pod booth. There's been a mini power cut. You don't know what's going on outside downstairs. What is that? You drinking?
Yeah. That is... I forgot we're doing the audio podcast. This is BrewDog OG Hazy. What are you drinking there?
Lager, mate, because I'm a fucking geezer. I'm Charlie Chugford, mate. You're not drinking that fucking tasty shit.
Charlie Chuggington.
That's got too much flavour in it.
7.2% volume.
Oh, well, fair enough, you pisshead. Electric soup, mate. But I actually like your tasteless, refreshing lagers. Because I'm a session drinker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not anymore.
You can't drink 10 pints of BrewDog Punk IPA.
I've gone. I've fully gone now, by the way.
What do you mean?
I don't want lager.
Oh, Ash.
I never want to eat lager again.
Eat it? Okay, well, I suppose you... What is the difference between eating and drinking, really? Because you eat soup. Hey, you eat soup.
Sorry, I thought there was going to be more to that.
No, that's it. You just saw a revelation in real time.
Hey. You went, hey. You eat soup.
You eat soup?
Yeah.
But you're not eating it, you're drinking it.
This is where the podcast's at right now. What's your favourite soup?
I don't like soup.
We all know you don't like soup. You don't like taking on pointless liquids.
Okay, so what you need to say is, let's rephrase the question, what's your least hated soup?
I mean, that's what I should say about everything in your life.
No, I do. I've been thinking. I actually got a bit of a complex when you said, like, is there anything you like? And I've had to really rack my brains. There are some things that I unequivocally love and think are objectively great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or I used to until recently. But no, okay, soup.
What's your least hated soup?
Spicy one. I brought some sort of spice, not a mulligatawny, but like a
winter spice.
No, not soup. It'd be Asian. It'd be like an I can't say that anymore. It would be like a Chinesey
thin,
like a broth. One of those sort of like broths. That's like very salty and chilly. I don't know how to describe it even.
Well, you're quite Eastern European, aren't you? So you'd have like just a bit, a lump of bone and some gristle boiled in some water. Be like brown bone.
That's all soup,
gristle.
Mate. All soup's made out of stock, unless you're what you are. But I don't like soup so much. I find soup. You're having a drink for your dinner. That's not right.
It's a total waste of a meal.
Yeah, totally. I mean, soup's what you have when you're ill. That's what to me I associate. I remember the proper. I don't know if you can still get the. Can you still get Lucozade? Lucozade, not the.
Yeah, you can. What happened to that? Because it used to be in a... I mean, this...
Chemist. You said the chemist.
But it used to be in a glass bottle and have a orange plastic sheet sort of tied around
it. Yeah.
Why?
Because the drink was the colour of the wrapper. So why don't you just leave it in the glass bottle? Because...
But you used to take it to people in hospital.
Yeah. Luke's adding grapes.
But why did it have that plastic film over it? Maybe because white glass, transparent glass, is easier to recycle, do you think?
Here's the thing. Do you prefer... Now, I think there is a difference. Beer out of a green or brown bottle. I think they taste different. Is that my just mental?
No. I totally and utterly accept that. I don't like beer out of a can.
No, you've got to. I haven't drunk a can of beer since... I have to. You know, if I go into an off-licence and it's...
Yeah, walking down the street in Brighton with you, I drank 4 cans of beer in 5 seconds with you and my girlfriend going, come on, hurry up, you got to get this food, we've got to go into a venue, quick drink. I was like, we're walking 100 yards. Come on, Ash, why are you talking? You and my girlfriend just go Charlie Chugging churning it.
Yeah, but she used to be your girlfriend, didn't she?
Yeah. We split up.
You split up now. So I'd say some sort of sort of chicken stocky, Wagamama type fusion-y thing with coriander and pepper and chilli in it, I like.
I'm new to spice, aren't I? So
fucking hell, mate. We are so different. I actually...
Take two steps forward, take three steps back. We come together because opposites attract.
Come together.
Yeah. Before we went live, we were talking about if a man put his penis in your bottom,
mm-hmm.
what you'd do. Mm-hmm. We both agreed we'd probably, at the start, we'd say, can you stop doing that, mm-hmm. wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And then we never really got beyond that. What would happen then? Like,
well, I said there must... Well, I think...
Can you stop?
Have you? What was that? What was that? What's his name? Nicolas Cage film? No, it's True Romance. It's True Romance. Sorry, where Christian Slater is like, I'm not gay, but I would let Elvis fuck me. Is that that for that True Romance?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Why did I think it was Nicolas Cage? Nicolas Cage plays an Elvis lover in a film, didn't he? Or Nicolas Cage is an Elvis lover.
Who plays Elvis in that film?
Doesn't Nicolas Cage? Maybe that's where I'm getting confused. Yeah. Maybe it was Nicholas. But anyway, Have men. Has every man, no matter how heterosexual you are. And I'm pretty heterosexual on the heterosexual scale. Not that there's anything good about that, being cisgender, heterosexual, gammon male. But I might be all those things. I don't know what a gammon is, but I've been...
Nor do I, mate.
But I think you get called a gammon. I think that's Jeremy Clarkson said gammon. Is that a gammon?
Yeah, my son now calls me a boomer.
Oh, yeah, and you're not a boomer. Fuck me, my dad's a boomer.
But you try telling him. The more you say you're not...
Yeah, okay, boomer. More... Okay, boomer.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't your kids start calling you something ages ago?
Pedo. They call me... I've had my kids this weekend. I'm not joking. I've got two boys, 14 and 12 they are in age, and I must have been called a paedophile. I'm not exaggerating, 80 times. It's just their go-to thing. And I go along with it, and then I outdo them because I can't help myself, and they get ripped. Like, they'll say a pedo thing, and I'll say, yeah, I am, put your dick in my mouth and look at them, and they get freaked out and don't like it.
Yeah, I wonder why, because he's 12, isn't he, your youngest?
Yeah, he is, but they're fucking massive, and I almost got refused entry to Sainsbury's yesterday
for having three men.
Well, we walked up to the thing, they've got their masks on, their hoods up, and their North Face hoodies because they're roadmen. And the employee on the door obviously thought he was a bouncer. You can't come in with one adult, one person. I went, it's my children. I said, they're 14 and 12. And he looked at me like he didn't believe me because they are 6 foot one and 5 foot 11. You've seen them.
Yeah.
And they've, had a growth spurt. It's insane how big my children are.
Yeah.
They are fucking massive.
Well, they've had to live outside for a long time. Their bodies have adjusted, haven't they?
Yeah, they've evolved.
They've grown sort of a downy hair and a thick, callousy skin.
Yeah, and they're like a tortoiseshell over their anus. A defence mechanism. Because I have and because I live in a house with a four-year-old, when they call me a pedo, they want to spell it out. But they don't say. So they don't say P-E-D-O because they don't want him to copy that. So they call me a P-3-D-O. That's what they call me.
P-3-D-O.
My nickname is now P-3-D-O, which is like a Star Wars droid.
I mean, I love it when we get a title for the episode.
P-3-D-O, but I think that could catch on.
It's difficult with what to write, but P-3-D-O is it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they call me, P3DO. Which I quite like, actually. And they say SH1T as well a lot. When they want to... They say, because he's four, the kid we live with, I live with, and they visit, they'll go, oh, you're full of SH1T. You P3DO. That's what they say. Which is like really, really undesirable personalised number plates. That's what they speak in.
Oh, God, it's the only one I could afford. It says P-D-O.
P-3-A-D-O. That's mine.
That's all I could afford. I always wanted one since I set my own business.
And it's on a van. A white van. It's on an ice cream van. I've got an ice cream van and one of the personalised plate. I've got P-3-A-D-O. I can't sell any fucking ice creams. You go figure it out.
I
drove down the estate playing my tune. The kids are diving behind hedges, running
okay,
home.
Okay, do you want to be in my gang? Is the tune. I haven't sold an ice cream in a month.
My fucking sparkles are getting near their best before date, mate. I didn't even know if that was possible.
What is?
A sparkle getting near its best before date. Those things are like...
Oh, yeah.
Those things lasted for like 1,000 years, I should imagine. It's just sugar and water. It can't go off, can it?
Sugar can't go off.
Well, honey doesn't, famously.
I had a vegan yoghurt the other day.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, I've got to eat, Panks.
You've got to eat yoghurt, though, have you?
But, right, so... And it had a sell-by date on it that was like only like a week in the future.
But... Is that how you talk, is it?
How can that be?
Well, what do you mean? You had a week before it was going out of date.
What's going off in a soya yoghurt?
You know, a lot of those things, I think legally they have to have a best before date on. Things like Worcester sauce, I don't think that can go off.
There was a thing I read about a year or two ago, and it was a guy who... each day ate something out of date. So it'd be like day one, he ate something one day out of date. And by the end, he's eating something that's a year out of date. And the only time he had any problem at all was there was some fish in something.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. And it gave him the Barcelona shit squits.
What's that? I've never heard that expression before.
He had the shit. I can't remember where that's from, the Barcelona shit squits. That is from something.
All right.
That's from a burped on podcast. That's from some sort of comedy show from the 90s, I think.
Here's a thing that's out of date, as in, like, I can't believe they still manufacture it. Seems like an anachronism. A bar, an actual bar of soap.
Yeah, because it's grubby, isn't it?
You think about it, what you're doing. You've got your hand up your arse.
Yeah, I rub it right on my anus.
No, your hand, even if you wipe your arse and the paper splits... This is painting a fictional scenario that's never happened to me. Wiping my arse, paper splits, my fingers inadvertently, the two middle ones, don't actually claw them up like this, they go up.
Fully up?
Yeah, fully up. And then you sort of like...
You fisted yourself.
You just do it a little while, you spend a little time trying to ease them out and back in again. So you don't want to like pull it straight out like a champagne cork and have that sort of like the shock of that. So you start massaging your prostate. Exactly. And you go, I'm going to wash my hands. And you pick up this... lump of soap and you smush it around in your shit hands and you put it on the side of the sink. I saw a bar of soap
and
in
the
a public
family do that.
And I remember when you used to come out to the public. I've seen them in public places.
Pubs, those little white bars of soap.
I think it should be illegal. If we've got to wear you got to wear a fucking surgical mask, go to the supermarket, but you can pick up a bar of soap, and no one. You think you don't pick up a bar of soap unless your hands are dirty.
You'd go to a pub, and there'd be little white bars of soap on the disgusting sink in the pub toilet.
A bar, mate. Why? And they're still making.
What about now? Have you seen the ones now that are like £8 a bar? Like if you go to what's that shop you walk past, Lush, and they're all like geometric shapes. Like they've been.
Are they to be used or to be like looked at?
I think it's to be used, but I mean. They're all odd shapes.
If you live on your own, fair enough. But I'm telling you this, I haven't got enough faith in the antiseptic or the kind of antibacterial qualities of a bar of soap. That if I've used it, I don't want to go back 2 days later and use it again.
No, I agree.
It's got dried up shit and germs on it.
We're singing from the same hinge.
Yeah, I think it should be outlawed.
What about the like imperial leather that's got a sticker on it?
Yeah,
and what's sticking that sticker on? I want to know. And B, you'd wear it down so that it looked like a flying saucer where the bit of sticker wasn't.
I remember in the 80s, I was reading like one of my mum's magazines or like the fucking newspaper, and they had the sort of like, you know what Viz used to lampoon the top tips? And it was a thing, it was like, save all your slivers of soap in a little bag. And then at the end of the year, you can mould them all together. What the fuck are you talking about?
Do you remember the Clean Easy catalogue?
Yeah.
Like it was a someone dropped out that Avon.
Yeah. I told you my story about that.
I can't remember it, but they had a thing that you could put, you put all your slithers of soap in and then pressed your new bar.
What are we doing?
Like, we were poor.
No one's that
we
poor.
We were really poor, but we weren't that poor.
I think if you're that poor, you wouldn't even have soap. You wouldn't have a sink. That's a homeless trick.
Briefly, my brother, I think for Christmas, got a soap on a rope type thing that was a bit of rope with a magnet on the end.
And, you put
and then there was another piece.
A magnet with like forks you could stick in soap.
And you stuck it in the soap, and then you could stick your soap onto this magnet. Again, the rope's disgusting. And then you've got jagged spikes.
How long is this rope? Because if you think about it, it's hanging around your neck like a medallion. You've got to take it off to wash your feet.
It had a sucker. It stuck on the bath, and then it suckered off. And it was about 8 inches long, probably.
Soap on a rope.
It wasn't jagged on the inside. It was a disc.
Until the mid-90s, no one had thought of a shelf in the shower or something.
When was like shower gel invented? Because I remember not being a thing, and then it being a thing.
Shower gel is like... what's the difference between shower gel and bubble bath, really?
What's the difference with any of them, Panks? I've got one downstairs now, right? It's called Icelandic Moss, right? Is what it's called. It's by Imperial Leather. And it is shampoo, body wash and conditioner. They're all the same thing. They're all the same thing.
When I was living in my car, I used to survive... I was a member of a gym, Bannatyne's, and they've got their
Bannatyne.
Yeah, stop Bannatyne. The geezer off the Dragon's Den, and Bannatyne's have this soap dispenser in their showers, and it says on that body wash, hair wash, fucking everything, and it's just like you say, it's a rip off, isn't it? And if you ever look at the ingredients, which I'm not that sad, but I have. It's always like the first ingredient is water, and it's got glycerin, and then that's it. It's just water and glycerin,
yeah.
Whatever that is. What is glycerin?
I remember Rod Gilbert. I like Rod Gilbert.
What happened to him?
He's still going, I think. Mm-hmm. He had this bit about contacting those companies because they had a help number on the back of those bottles, like the shower gel bottles. And on one of them, it's like, invigorate. Use this in the mornings to set you up
for
the
day. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Radox do that,
didn't
they?
And he phoned that helpline. And he's like, oh my God, it's 9:30. I've just got in from like work. And I've used the invigorate body gel. And I just don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep. And it's the person like at the other end going like, oh no, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And he says like, oh no, I don't think I am. I've really, really showered. I've really used loads. What's going to happen? And they just literally like, no, there's nothing in it. It's fine.
It's a placebo thing, isn't it?
A night sleep one. Have you ever had like one that's got like lavender in it? It's like you're for your nighttime shower. But then you're someone, people will be surprised to know that you're a very clean person.
Can be, yeah.
Because you've got a foofa. Like, you go full exfoliation on each shower.
I call it Stranchi, yeah.
A Stranchi.
And I tell you, my favourite shower gel, while on the subject, is the Nivea. I think it's called something like
Protect and Serve.
Yeah. And it kneels on your neck for 8 minutes. No, it's called Nivea Protect and Sheen or Protect and... And it's like a... Remember when Dove first came out? And that was like, what the fuck is this? It was like luxurious and velvety, the foam on a... Is this what we're talking about? But yeah, it was really sort of creamy and velvety and smooth. And this Nivea one's like that. So I use that with a Stranchi. I've moved on to the Bulldog skin products, believe it or not. I mean, I've hit that age where I'm starting to look my age now.
Well, the thing is, with the club card, it's half price, the old Bulldog.
Bulldog, do you use Bulldog stuff?
I've got some, but I've not fully moved. Actually, it's expensive, but it's good quality. My problem is, listener, that I can't use sensitive stuff.
No, the sensitive too. I don't like the sensitive stuff. It's too thin. I use the original
one. It burns me. Like if I use a Nivea sensitive body wash, it burns my. I'm going to call it bell end. Like it's on fire.
Do you wash your bell end with soap?
Yes, mate, yeah.
I don't really think you're supposed to do that.
No?
I never have.
I just pour it down the hole.
No, I've never used any soap on my bellend. Ever in my life. I did once and it went all sort of frushy and peeled off.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're not supposed to use that on your bellend.
What I do is I pull my foreskin up to make like a windsock. And then I just fill that up with liquid cleaning fluid. And then I squeeze the end closed, so it's like a balloon. And then I squeeze it like this, and it really rinses it. It's like it's gargling body wash. And then I let a tiny hole in it, and it's like letting the water out of a water balloon. It just squirts out. It's like squeezing a big pop, popping zit, like Dr. Pimple Pop.
I don't think you're supposed to put scented... I don't use products on my tip.
No, but...
I cut my left hand and collect shower water in it, and then with my right hand I unsheath the warhead, and I splash it in the puddle I've made in my left hand, and I sort of keep scraping the outer layers of whatever it is off, and like I'm peeling a grape, and just keep rubbing it and rubbing it.
And then what happens?
Bleeds. But no, No, seriously, I stop using product on the tip, mate. It's not good.
Product. What about, have you ever used those exfoliation gloves?
No. I'm a heterosexual cisgendered gammon.
I tried some. You can't wash your cock and balls in that. You cannot wash your cock and balls with exfoliation
gloves. I find the whole washing the ball thing weird.
You've got to do it, man. You've got to do it.
Mine done, my I've never had dirty balls. I've never had dirty balls. I wipe front to back, so there's never any...
No, I'm smearing all day long, back to front.
I think you might be, because you eat all that vegan cheese and that. I don't know what's in that.
I've got like a bridge of... what's it called? Lug nuts. What was it called?
Dags or dingleberries or...
Dingleberries.
Do you know, I've got a perfectly shaped
goat. I'm like a farmyard goat, you know, it forms those droplets of just matted shit.
I've got a perfectly shaved scrote. I've had a shaved scrote for 15 years. I think I was quite an early adopter onto the shaving the scrote, because I grew up near the American Air Base and all the Yanks did it.
It's really funny because a few weeks ago you absolutely protested that you did that.
Did or didn't?
You said you didn't. Well, because I said I did, and you were like, what the fuck's wrong with you, you fucking weird?
Well, don't call me out. This is the entertainment. I just say whatever I think's the... Whatever you say, I'm going to say the opposite, because we just agree on everything.
Here's something that I did once that isn't me at all. I know you're a rugby boy, so you probably do this all the time. I once, when shaving down there, nicked myself badly.
What, your collar?
And it bleeds. It really bleeds, doesn't it? And I took a picture of it and sent it to my mate.
Fuck. Oh, I'm a rugby boy. I'm the weirdo. You're the one sending pictures
but that's
of your...
kind of thing rugby boys do.
No.
I wouldn't normally. It's not the kind of thing I would do normally.
I have shaved my pubes off before as well. Not that long
completely
ago.
Completely gone.
Yeah, yeah. You've I got talked complete... into it by someone.
What was his name?
Gillette.
What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
And,
it doesn't mean anything,
man. When you're in battle, and you're in a certain state, it don't look too bad. But then there's the cold Tuesday morning when you just go for a piss. Oh my, it's not good.
You felt like you took a time travel back in time.
I just looked down and was like, oh no. And then I got all like these zits on my pubis.
Well, I'm so fat as well. I just look like a fat cherub. Completely smooth.
This is so funny when you say you're so fat. Because you're so fat. But the way you say it, I'm at least you admit it.
What, mate?
No,
what
I'm
about
getting hot,
when
so
my girlfriend said to me once, do you shave down there? I was like, yes. Or what do you think's going on? Why have you? What do you think?
No, every morning I slide down the banister. Because I'm a child at heart. I remember before men shaved their pubes, it was acceptable, and I did have a very smooth underside that rubbed on the gusset of my underpants.
I used to get the hair burn off my knees.
Well, my ball, if you think about it, in the 90s, my ball bag was like the, you know, like a you know, playing card where you've got like the two-headed jack. It was like that. And like if I had a bald spot and my balls were completely like, I was like a playing card of a man with a bald spot. And then this sort of like smoothed off underside of my clacker. Just a smaller head. And a smaller nose, which is disappointing that my nose is actually bigger than my penis.
It's cold, isn't it?
No, what a massive big nose.
What's the point of it all, eh?
I've been asking myself that recently, and I think it's...
I haven't warned you about any of this. There's no warning of it, is there?
No, just...
No one tells you any of this shit.
No.
You go to school and they teach you subjects, but no one teaches you about shaving your pubes off, do they?
Well, this is the thing. When I was at school, I used to look at the teachers, like the male teachers, and I think I learned more from just looking at them going, oh, fuck me. Like, you do learn this, but it's... you learn it from observing. And that respect your elders is a weird rule, isn't it?
But are we different now? Because I feel like we are, but I don't know that we are. Well, I look back at those teachers and they were so old.
Oh, they were 10 years younger than us, mate.
Yeah.
Got to take that off, I'm getting hot. I need a haircut. What do you think about that?
I've got a hat here. Should I put my hat on?
Yeah, put your hat on.
Absolutely pointless. Can't wear a hat. How would you?
That's the most boring hat I've ever seen. Yeah, like that, probably.
Just a black hat. Bear in mind, this is an audio podcast. I've just put a black hat on and took it off.
This is an audio podcast?
Yeah.
Well, how come I can see you then? Why are we videoing it?
Because we're recording the video as well, aren't we?
Oh, okay. Well, this is not an audio podcast then, is it?
Well, yeah, it's an audio podcast. This is going out.
Going out of fashion. Hey, can you see this? But now you've told me it's an audio podcast, first thing I say, can you see this? What, describe to the listener what you can see.
I can see it looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 people sitting looking at something.
That is a picture, a still from one of my favourite films, Ice Cold in Alex. And the geezer sat there, the main geezer, Sir John Mills, you might have heard of him.
I've heard of his grandson.
How have you heard of his grandson?
Crispin Mills.
No, I haven't. Who's that?
You have.
Well, Sir John Mills. Sir John Mills is from.
I've heard of his daughter.
I'm trying to think of a.
Hayley Mills.
Edinburgh Wool.
his daughter.
He's from Swanton Morley, which is like 3 miles outside Dereham in Norfolk, where I used to live. Where my children go to school and live. But that's my favourite film, Ice Cold in Alex, which essentially, is a film about an alcoholic really looking forward to going to the pub. I watched it when I was a kid, and I think I had a drink problem ever since then. It properly fetishises drinking a pint of beer.
His daughter is Hayley Mills, who is an actor, and his grandson is Crispin Mills, who is the lead singer of Cooler Shaker.
Oh, I hate Cooler. I've told you my Cooler Shaker story. I went to the festival V99 with some mates, and we just watched. Did you go?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, I went Cooler Shaker were about to come on the main stage, and on the dance stage or the other stage, whatever it was called, I think. No, there's a dance tent. There was a stage, second stage. James Brown was on, and I said, fuck me, James Brown's about to come on, let's all go over there. And I was there, there was 9 of us, and 8 of my friends said, no, we're going to stay and watch Cooler Shaker. And they stayed and watched Cooler Shaker, and I went on my own and watched James Brown. And he's obviously like, they can't see him now, he's dead. And did you know that Hush was a cover?
Yes, of course, yeah. by Deep Purple. I loved Cooler Shaker. Absolutely.
Oh, you
loved
absolutely. Ash. I've not said this to you before, and I try to keep my. But you are an absolute cunt. There's no other way to respond to someone who says something like that.
Loved it. Really loved it.
Oh, you've changed to loved.
Love them. Really love them.
Oh, no. That's bad.
I've not listened to them for a decade.
Good. It won't hold up.
No. No, it won't. Here's the thing, actually. I remember they were on TGI Friday, and I remember they played
on what?
The song, and then... What?
What were they on?
TFI Friday.
There you go. Well done. What do they order? The fucking...
Should have said that first off. And they played a song called Hey Dude, right?
Don't lean
and
on me, man.
Chris Evans going, it's a really great song, but that's an awful title. And it really pissed me off. Like, no, I didn't even like them at that stage. Like, I'd not heard of them. And I thought, who are you to say anything about their title? That's weird.
Yeah, your show's called TFI Friday. The one before that was called Don't Forget Your Toothbrush. You can't talk to me about titles, mate.
And then, but then, so when, you remember the Partridge film, Alpha Papa?
Yeah.
When, like, Steve Coogan as Partridge was on the Jonathan Ross show, which again, I've not watched for probably 10 or 15 years, I happened to watch that one, and they were talking, oh no, it was Coogan, he was Coogan, he wasn't Partridge. And then, so, Jonathan Ross said, and what's it called? And he said, it's called Alpha Papa. And Jonathan Ross is like, well, that's an awful title. What an awful title. And I, again, I was like, fuck off. Why are you saying it's an awful title? No, it's got nothing to do with the...
Well,
the
case in point,
rock.
What were we just talking about? Ice Cold in Alex.
It really bothers me, though, when people have a go at the title. Like, what does it matter?
What do you think is the best piece of work? Biggest discrepancy, like our reviews, the best review to the five stars. What is the best piece of work that's got the worst title? Pulp Fiction's got to be up there.
Because Pulp Fiction... What is Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction means trashy shit. When it's actually not, I don't think it is trashy shit.
Why is it called that?
I don't
that
know.
Pulp Fiction is the kind of fiction...
It means that it means like disposable, and pulp is just sort of like... Yeah, it means kind of like lowbrow, I guess.
So what... Why is the film called that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, do I? I tell you what, I watched that again. And you know that was Miramax and Harvey Weinstein, the Me Too. You know, he was like, he was, it was said like he would put people in films for watching him shower. And it's so obvious the actresses in that one that would just had sucked him off or whatever. Watched him wank into a plant pot. There's a bit where the wolf comes and cleans everything up, and he comes out of the junkyard with this quite attractive woman. It's just for no reason. And she's a lot younger than him. And he goes, oh, this is so-and-so. She owns the junkyard. We're now going for dinner. Is everything good here? At the end, when he's got rid of whoever, what's his name? Can't remember his
name. And then when he got found out and caught for doing it, he then turned up at court crippled and hunched over and unable to walk. He's like, oh, I'm a very disabled and
ill. Also, do you remember Esmeralda, the taxi driver, when Bruce Willis... wins the boxing match and jumps out the window, and he gets in a yellow cab, which I don't think they have in LA, but he gets in this yellow cab or taxi, and she's like a 10 out of 10 smoke show, looks like Catherine Zeta-Jones. Is that the weirdest bit of casting? You would never, ever cast an actor, a woman like that, to be the taxi. She doesn't look anything like a taxi driver. She's obviously like he'd fucked her. I don't know if you can sue me for that, but...
But then was it... I was talking to someone the other day, was it Canon Films that basically in the 80s had a cocaine budget? Or was it Orion? The documentary, I think. And they literally had a cocaine budget. So films like RoboCop.
That's Orion. Like, that's Orion.
Budget,
I think Terminator was Orion.
Quid. Don't know, I can't remember.
I watched that the other night.
They'd literally go, the budget's 11 million quid and a million of that is cocaine.
Last Sunday I watched King of Comedy.
Never seen it.
What? Have you seen Joker?
No.
Oh. Well, that's based on that. And in King of Comedy, You never seen King of Comedy?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, it's right. Okay, it's two things. I think it's both Martin Scorsese's biggest flop commercially, and also I think his best film.
Yeah, it's weird because
it's about comedy. It's so good, mate.
It's a difficult thing to make a film about comedy, isn't it? Because you've got to actually, it's got to be fun.
I tell you what it is. It's very ahead of its time. It's more of a film about a obsession.
Does he kill the host of the show?
No, he doesn't, which is what he does do in Joker. But in Joker, right, in King of Comedy, Robert De Niro is Rupert Pupkin, who is this, he's not even a stand-up. He's just obsessed with like a Johnny Carson type figure. And he kidnaps him, gets on the show and does stand-up, but he's never done it before. He just lives in his basement and does it. It's like Joker. But then in Joker, this is why it's so subtle and good. He doesn't die, he doesn't storm it. He does all right because he's on that platform, that sort of kind of Emperor's New Clothes thing. If he was
He basically kidnapped him and then said, yeah, I'll release you if you let me on
the
show.
Yeah, yeah. Which
and the guy goes, okay.
Well, the guy doesn't go okay. The show people have to go okay because they've got him. And Sandra Bernhardt as his accomplice. But he goes on there and he does his routine, which is quite dark and about what's happened to him. Like about how he was sort of like his parents were alcoholics and blah, 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 and abused and not abused as such. But, you know, it was quite... But they laugh because he's on that platform, which they, you know, and it's... And we see that, don't we? Like, when you're watching Live at the Apollo, I don't know, whatever, and you're watching these people do this wishy-washy shit, you think that would never work in a fucking club.
I went to see someone I think's a really good stand-up, Mickey Flanagan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went to see him. And he walked on stage and said hello. He went, hello! And there was a laugh. And I turned to my girlfriend and just went, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like that, he got a laugh saying hello.
Well, there was...
He didn't... It's mad.
Right.
The investment in the comedy night when you've paid to be there is...
That's star power.
Yeah, that's star power, yeah.
I want you to watch King of Comedy before next week and we'll talk about it. It's honestly, it really holds up. It's really good. You don't have to be a comedian to enjoy it. It's fucking... It's funny.
Well, I know. It's a classic.
But it really failed. No one liked it.
How can Scorsese have a film that flopped?
Oh, the only one of his films I haven't been able to watch was that last one, The Irishman. Oh, hell. Fucking hell. That Robert De Niro's like a fucking corpse.
And De Niro's been in some absolute dog shit, though, don't forget. It's not just bangers from him.
No, not at all. But like what they've done is they've CGI'd him as a young man, but he walks like the old man where he's... Now old men walk.
Why didn't
like,
they just get a young man and CGI onto his body?
I know, why did they... Exactly, but you know how old men walk? Like they place their feet down like they're walking across a frozen lake. Like they always look like they're going to fall over, didn't they?
That's because they're so scared of falling
over. Yeah, exactly! And he walks like that, but he's kicking people's heads in, and it's just so fucking shit, mate. I had to turn it off.
But then he did like Meet the Fockers and all that.
That was good.
Like, that stuff.
That was all good. Yeah. That was good.
The first one was watchable. You know what? I don't really like that kind of thing.
What was the one where? Like... What was the one where he tries to join in playing water volleyball and he smashes the ball into her nose? Is that the first one?
That's it.
Or the second one?
Don't know.
I love things like that. Funny.
I really find it difficult to watch. Those films where someone is being, you know, have you seen What About Bob? With
He lives in a Bill basement. Murray. Is his friend? Is the loser friend?
He's causing so much trouble, but the family think he's lovely, and yet he's basically a terrible stalker.
Yeah, I watched one and like that. There's that one like that where he's the best man, the Owen Wilson, you know, the one with the big nose,
yeah.
And he's the best man. And he's the similar sort of character.
Is it Me, You and Dupree?
Yes, I think it might be. He's like
I find it so hard to watch.
It's kind of like they're bullying mentally ill people, isn't it? I found that I watched that Step Brothers with my boys. And I was watching that going, this is just taking the piss out of autistic people. They're just autistic. That's two autistic
Adam
adults.
Adam Sandler's career?
He weren't in that.
Adam Sandler's in career.
Yeah, no,
career.
I see what you're saying. Sorry, yeah. That Billy Madison and all that.
Yeah,
like
so there's a really good podcast called Plumbing the Death Star, which is Australian. These three Australian guys, And they basically say, in Billy Madsen, which I remember watching and thinking was hilarious, he went, he's mentally ill. This kid is
what
ill.
About
this
one,
man
what's,
is ill.
What about something about Mary, where Cameron Diaz's brother is actually properly yes. disturbed? Have you seen my wiener? He's not properly
But is he not, really? He's putting it on.
Oh, yeah, the actor isn't, but the character's properly disabled.
I'm thinking of Scream.
No, what's the one where they get him to go right up to people and ask them if they've seen his wiener?
Yeah.
They've got, like, quite a thick-set geezer that looks like a bit like you, just sort of, like, yeah. you know, running around in shorts and,
yeah.
you know, with a big tongue hanging
and
out.
And he's mentally ill.
Yeah. yeah.
That wasn't all right, was it? The 90s was shit.
No, it was all right. No, it was all right. It's not now. That's the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, no, but I was, you know what, I was thinking this the other day. It is strange that although it's never been all right, it was all right.
It was tolerated.
Like, you know, in terms of like stuff that my grandparents would say, they weren't hate-filled people.
No, of course.
But they would say
course.
Stuff that you just you cannot say now.
I but, do think, I've been thinking about this, I do think that the communications, like, what you thought in Britain about people in Africa, it was very much us and them. And I do think things like the internet has made us more of a global because village, is the expression that they used to use, isn't it? And I think it's...
I think there's a lot to be said for also... Like, you can look back and go, it's disgusting how they spoke and acted and all that. But if it's the same as, like, religion. If it's passed down and you are told that that is right, it only takes one generation for you not to question it.
I think I look back at things that we, from our era, I'm a bit older than you, we're sort of similar generation, I guess. I look back at things from our era and go, this must be how our parents feel when they look back at the Black and White Minstrel Show. Like that, yeah. like... That disabled, autistic, whatever you want to call them, character and saying about Mary must be like how you feel when you look back at blackface. Yeah. And there's so many of those sort of like gross out American comedies of the 90s did have that kind of
yeah,
very cruel.
But, and also gay stuff, like the incredibly
don't give a fuck about him, not. That's fine.
Yeah, but that was a big thing in the 90s.
Yeah, it was.
You'd have a straight guy playing an
like I said, I was going to my kids, you've got to watch this Dumb and Dumber, it's really funny, they're both really stupid, and I'm watching that, and even in the opening scenes, I'm going, oh, is this okay? Are they? Because they're not just sort of like...
No, they're mentally ill.
And so... But then there is a scene where one gets arse-raped in a cubicle.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, I'm watching my kids go, oh, fuck, this is like a comedy. And it's got rape in it. That's funny. We'll be like, yeah. ha, ha, ha. Oh, look, Jim Carrey's getting raped by sea bass. How funny.
It is weird. It is funny. There's a lot of that stuff that goes on in kids' films that isn't okay.
Not a kids' film, but I just remember it being fine and funny and innocent. And just like, it's not like, I wouldn't show him Deliverance, but what's the difference? It's got a very similar scene to Deliverance in it.
Back to the Future, you know, there's Libyan terrorists and stuff like that. It's like, and Biff is trying to rape Marty's mum for the whole film. In the end of the film is his dad knocking Biff out after he's tried to rape.
Isn't Back to the Future, right, okay. I watched The Terminator the other day, and as I just said, obviously Joker was very much based on King of Comedy, and I know it was because there's nods in it, that the talk show host in Joker is Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
But I think Back to the Future was piggybacked off the Terminator. Because in the Terminator, that guy goes back to defend John Connor and he actually fucks John Connor's mum and John Connor's his son.
He's sent back by John Connor in Terminator 1.
He's sent back by his own son. So it's like a little... It's like a dead leg or a kind of cul-de-sac.
It can't work as much as it...
And I think Back to the Future, they were thinking about that. And Marty McFly's mum wants to bone him. Doesn't she?
To create him.
Yeah, and I think they... I think that piggybacked or the seed of the plot for Back to the Future was garnered from watching Terminator, which did come out a couple of years before that, I think.
I'm just checking.
It might not.
1984 Terminator, so
when's
about the same time.
What year was Back to the Future?
85.
There you go then, so Back to the Future ripped off Terminator. Not ripped it off, but I think they took that premise of...
There's a link back to Pulp Fiction, because the guy that jabs the needle through Uma Thurman's heart, he was Marty McFly in Back to the Future until they realised he wasn't really working, and they replaced him with...
Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The Terminator, the budget of the Terminator is $6.4 million.
That's made so much. Someone told me.
£3 million.
Someone told me that James Cameron wrote that in a weekend with a felt tip, and I've got one word to say to that: cocaine. Who would write a screenplay in a weekend with a felt tip unless someone is absolutely gapped off their nut? That just sounds like such a coke thing to do, doesn't it?
It's got to be. It's actually got.
I mean, I don't know if that's apocryphal, but I've heard that he wrote this. And that's what made him that screenplay.
Isn't there, like, Rocky, basically, was written... Was that his third draft or something?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the thing now, the trouble now... I don't know. The trouble now, Ash, is, yes... Okay, this is the sort of, like, dichotomy I feel as an artist, I guess, or someone who works in the arts or creative field, if I didn't want to be so lofty... is, yeah, you get these singular visions and you make mistakes and some things aren't politically correct and some things could be deemed as offensive, but it's one person's vision. Now, you'd write a draft, it would go through this kind of mincing machine of committee and focus groups, and what do you end up with? Sterilised nothing. Do you know what I mean?
But then that's why everything will be Patreon-supported and everything will be online. And the trouble is, as well, online, like... You know, YouTube have tightened their restrictions on things, so it'll go somewhere else as well. It can't all be on YouTube, because it'll have to be Patreon based.
Have you been keeping tabs of the old Spotify Joe Rogan sort of saga?
No.
Well, they paid him £100 million to get his podcast exclusive, and they've just now they've come out and said they're going to censor load of his episodes, anything where he spoke to anyone that said anything.
How long did he sign a contract for?
I don't know, actually. I don't know if that's been disclosed. But it was a multi-year deal.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. But it will all just be the content that you put out.
But what I'm saying is there's now a sort of murmurs or rumours that Spotify have done this as a PR exercise. One, if you give anyone £100 million, you look like a big player. Two, it's...
So what, literally... Oh, yeah, but they've left it too long, mate. Surely. Interestingly, Justin has completely and utterly shut down. Dropped off. I'll have to edit that. Ladies and gentlemen, it was at this point we had some technical difficulties and we lost Justin. Hopefully he's back next week. But who knows? Who knows?